Yeah, get Luke some fresh water.
I have read a devotional every night at dinner time. The one that I'm going to share with you is something that touched me, so I wanted to share it with you. It is called Words That Wound the Heart. Please to turn to Proverbs 18:8. Proverbs 18:8. In Proverbs 18:8, it says, "The words of the talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the inmost parts of the belly." I looked up the word wound, and it means to injure or inflict an injury to a person's feeling or reputation by lying about them or the things they do. Some words stay with us for a long time, perhaps even a lifetime, because of the words they inflict on the heart. Many speak like a loose cannon without regard or rightness, timing or kindness. Even though they speak the truth, sometimes the truth is neither helpful or necessary and shouldn't be spoken at all. Mm-hmm. Sadly, our families often receive the brunt of our careless words. A good life verse is Psalms 19, verse 14, where it says, "Let the words of the mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, my strength and my redeemer." In my opinion, yet every believer should pray this prayer. And God's word clearly warns against careless speaking. Let's take a look at a couple of verses in Proverbs. Let's talk about this. First, let's go to Proverbs 13:3. Proverbs 13:3. In Proverbs 13:3, it says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Now go to Proverbs 15:2. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise unseeth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the foolish poureth out foolishness." And one more in Proverbs is Proverbs 21:23. In Proverbs 21:23, it says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." In Ecclesiastes 5:2-3, it reads, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words." The Lord will hold us responsible for careless words. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account therefore in the day of judgment. That verse is found in Matthew 12:36. I believe one reason for such stern responsibility is because how damaging careless words can be. Angry words wound us. Words in anger are often linked in God's word. Let's look at James 1:19. James 1:19. In James 1:19 it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." When we're angry, we don't realize the volume and intensity of our voices, words, and tones. Unfortunately, we often fail to realize how deeply we've hurt those to whom we've spoken in anger. Yep. Destructive words wound us. Some words lead to destruction. Proverbs 18:8, it says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. B.I., encouraging words should show how a Christian looks like. Ephesians 4:29 says, let not commission proceed out of the mouth, but that which is good to use by edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We should repent of hurtful words by making resolution and seeking forgiveness. Psalms 141:3, it is another appropriate prayer. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Jesus says in Matthew 15:18-20, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and thy defile a man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thieves, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. I'll close with this. Jesus, just something we all should think about. When was a time you spoke carelessly and foolishly? Mm-hmm. May God bless you, and thank you for giving me the time to share this with you.
Amen. Amen. Close with this, and Miss Tanya said last week she seen me and Luke taking the offering together. She said, "Gosh, you ever think of the day that you'd be taking an offering together?" And now my son's standing up here doing a message with me, and but he understands what that is because Luke lived that from me.
Yeah.
I was a very wrathful person, and my words hurt my son profusely. I mean, they hurt him even sometimes today, where he'll remember those words that his dad used to say to him. And there was times that my son, when I would walk by him, he'd flinch. Mm-hmm. And now, thank God, because of Jesus Christ and his salvation, my son doesn't have to do that anymore. Yeah. And I thank God that he's cleaning up my mouth. Yeah. It's not been an easy thing after 40 years of going out there and speaking that way. But thank God, I mean, here's what the Lord did to me. I would say something to my children, and God would put a snapshot of their face in my head as I said that to them, and I could not get that out of my head. It was just tearing my soul out, because every time I would close my eyes or whatever, all I seen is that last moment of those words that I said to my kid in their face. And it would just tear me apart. I mean, it tore my insides out. And I just said, Lord, I need your help in this. I can't stop this on my own, and I need your help. And he's been a faithful, faithful God. And I just thank God that he's been able to watch my words, because it was pretty vicious. My wife, she suffered for many years of my wrath. She suffered many years of hearing very hurtful words. And I remember the Lord just convicting my heart, and he's telling me, Lord, or Dale, learn how to dwell with her according to knowledge. And that just always struck me as, I don't understand that, Lord. And he would come back and show me the words that you're speaking to your wife, how you're treating her. Do you see those men like Botens and Paul Gordon and all those men that I've watched over the years who have taken care of their wives, have done those things that a man should do with his wife? And I watch Pastor Hayne even now, how he takes care of his wife, and I go, that's what the Lord is talking about. That is what the Lord is trying to show me on how I'm gonna dwell with my wife according to knowledge, because she's the weaker vessel. Listen, my wife is smarter than me. I'm not afraid to admit that. My wife is not weaker in intellect. My wife is stronger in intellect than I am. That doesn't bother me. I'm very happy because it helps me. She's my perfect helpmeet. She wasn't meant to be anybody's helpmeet but mine. Right. And I thank God for that. And so learning how to dwell with her according to knowledge for her physical weakness. My wife does absolutely get tired more than I do, and I've had 10 surgeries. I've had 10 surgeries, and my wife still physically gets weaker and more tired quicker than I do. And I could really mess things up when I don't take that in consideration. And then I start trying to tear it down with my mouth. Why? Because I'm trying to build myself up. Shame on me. Shame on me. Lord, why aren't you hearing my prayers, Lord? How come you're not doing that for me, Lord? And he just says, your tongue. It's a filth box. A cat litter box is cleaner than my mouth at times. Shame on that. Just how it is. And so I thank God that Luke was touched with that. We do a family devotional at home. And this is nothing. This was nothing that I even planned. This is nothing I was going to talk about. Matter of fact, I was going to talk about Deuteronomy 8 verses 2 and 3. But I didn't get into it because the Lord, I just, as Luke was sitting up there saying that, my heart was broke. Because I just remember the time of him having to suffer the wrath of my mouth. The wrath of my words. And it just broke my heart. But also at the same time, I rejoice to see that God was able to bring this family and bring some healing in this family for which there was no hope. And I mean zero hope. You Montgomerys, you know what that was like. On the verge of divorce. My wife praying that God would kill me because she just couldn't take it anymore. And I don't blame her. And God did kill that old sucker down, gave her a new husband. You understand? He gave her a new husband and gave her her children a dad that they can have, and we can go out there and we can have that Christian life. And it's been a Christian life. And let me just tell you, we have a family. We our home. You've been to our home. You know what? It's a mobile home. People go, oh, you live in a mobile home. No, I live in a castle.
That's right.
God gave me a castle. That's my home.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We can be sick in it. We can pray together. We can love together. We can read together. And my son and my daughter and my wife, we can learn what Jesus Christ is. We can learn who he is. And what is it really to be a family?
Amen.
I don't know what that was like to be a family. But because of Jesus Christ and this right here, you see, I bring this home with me. I don't just leave it at church when I leave. Who's taught me how to be a dad? I didn't have one. I had my mother's boyfriends. Who's taught me how to be a husband? You see, my pastors, Pastor Hayne, Pastor John, they don't come sit in my living room. But God Almighty does.
Amen.
He's right there to teach you. Hey, I'm just telling you now. Bring this home with you. Every time you leave out that door, this should go with you. Let me just say this. It should be open at home, and you should put it in your the Pacific Garden Missions. We watch it every Saturday night now.
Amen.
Thanks to Pastor Hayne. We love it. I got an alarm set now. We sit there and we listen to the preaching, and it's good. And you know, and then yesterday, hearing the gentleman teaching on Sunday school, he said, hey, he said, don't just sit under the Word of God, but get in the Word of God. Don't substitute your Bible reading to sit here. Don't let somebody else do what God is trying to teach you while in here in Sunday school or here under the preacher. Go home and read your Bible. Wow. It's a struggle to do that. Why do you think it's a struggle? Because you're your flesh, because the devil doesn't want you in there. But I'm telling you now, if you want things to change in your life, if you want your mouth to clean up and you want your heart to clean up and all that, you have to implement that into your life. It will not happen any other way. God is a God of mercy. And God's only going to take so much. And I thank God that he was long-suffering and that he waited patiently for me and my family. He's continued to do work in our lives. And I thank God that there's hard times, deserts that you'll go through. But in those deserts, I just told a gentleman this the other day, working in the jail ministry. I said, in those deserts, you can take it one or two ways. You can take it as a negative and sit there and pout. Or you can take it as a positive and see what God's trying to show you in that.
Yeah.
You see, that's where the children of Israel missed the mark. They didn't see what God was trying to show them in it. You know why? They were too busy running back. They wanted to go back to the world, want to go back to their comfort zone. God, you are worthless to God in your comfort zone.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You'll never be anything to God in your comfort zone. He's got to pull you out of your comfort zone. He's got to make you step out of that place in order for him to be able to use you, in order for you to be able to hear him. You know what? When you're out of that comfort zone, it's then when you want to focus on the Word of God. It's then when you want to hear God. It's then when you want to pray earnestly. Why would God want to keep you in your comfort zone then?
That's good.
So many times I sit there and, God, I'm at the end of my rope. I just can't take it anymore. And then I see the rope get longer. Because God says, you're right, you can't, but I can. You see? And if I don't get out of those places, I'm going to stay that stagnant person that I've always been. And God doesn't want me there. God's got something for me. And I'm thrilled. So when I'm in those desert places, I don't just look for the negative in it. When Allegheny County, when that door closed, I thought it was over with, Pastor. I just didn't know what to think of it. Gosh, I'm just a new Christian, man. I'm only 8 years old in the Lord. I've never been in any type of ministry except for, you know, the Sunday school stuff we've done and which we love. I'm not downplaying that by any means. But when that door closed, I just didn't understand what was going on. Fast forward, it's almost 7 months later. I totally understand what went on. It's not just because I'm in Monroe. And I think I was talking to Brother Nick today earlier. I said, in those 7 months, the Lord has brought me through a desert. A dry, thirsty land. I sat in there. And God was doing what Deuteronomy 8:2-3 says. He was proving me. He was trying me. To see if I would serve, to see if I would do what he really wanted me to do, to see if I would listen to what he really wanted me to say. You see, I can always get myself to want to do things that I want to do. Worthless. Absolutely and completely worthless to God. But when I learned how to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that he can exalt me in due time. Then I can start seeing clearer. You see, when I'm looking through my blurred vision of my human emotions and my human thoughts, all I'm going to look back and reflect on is what happened to me in the past. When I start looking through God's eyes, when I put his glasses on, it's a clear picture. But you know what that takes? Going through that desert. Going through that proving. Going through that humbling. Going through and letting God do it. Going through at that point, he could say this, Dale, as God your Father, I need you to grab my hand and I need you to trust me through this. You're talking to a person who didn't have a father. I had no clue what that's like. And then God asked me to please put my trust in him as my Father, as he guides me in this and through this. You know, that's not always easy. But he just says, stick your hand out. Just stick it out. Right, Nick? Be willing to stick your hand out, right? And he'll take hold of that and he'll get you through. 7 months later, I see where God has opened doors. And I know there's things now, Pastor Hain, that I would never do in Monroe County or any other jail or prison that I ever get in that I did there. But I would have never seen that yet if he didn't close that door. There was things about myself, Brother Ron, that I had to take care of before God could move any farther. And so my here's what I have to say today is we need to watch our mouths. If we're not watching our mouths, it's going to get loose. If it gets loose, it's going to cause a destruction to everybody. Number two, when we go through those hard times, don't look at it as a negative. Look at it as the positive. Don't say, God, get me out of this. Say, Lord, get me through this. You'll learn more going through something than you will getting out of it. I know it's easier getting out of stuff. But it'd be a whole lot more beneficial to you going through things. Amen. And so just pray that God give you the strength while you go through those things. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. We do thank you for your much grace and your mercy. We thank you for the changed lives that are in this room, Lord. We do thank you for those things that you have are doing and that you say that you're going to do. We pray and thank you so much for the young, the teens and the older teens, Lord, for what they have done and what they're going to do, Lord. That they're stepping out in faith to learn how to serve you, Lord, coming out of their comfort zone. They don't realize what's going on with this Teen Sundays, what you do, Lord. You're already preparing them for something, Lord. We don't know what it is. But with this coming out on this teen service, you're preparing them for a service that they might face out there in their future. I just ask that you bless them and bless the families. Bless everybody who's sitting out here today. Be with Pastor as he travels from one place to another, as he preaches the next couple days. Give him the words to speak. Thank you so much for what you have done and what you're doing here at Black Creek. May you continue to use us, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.